morning. I'm Terry Bryant, and our story today comes from the Gospel of Luke. I'm reading from the New International Version. Jesus went down to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the bier where they were carrying him on, and the bearer stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has come to help his people." This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our hope. Amen. So I want to invite you to walk backwards through your mind, as they say in Sesame Street, to the start of Advent, which was several months ago now. We heard a story then about John the Baptist sending a message to Jesus. So John was at the time sitting in a cell, a prison cell, waiting to be executed. And as he sat there, he started wondering if what he had done with his life really fulfilled his calling. And he started wondering if the one that he had been charged with preparing the way for, if he had done that. Was this guy Jesus, who he had baptized, was this really the one that they were waiting for? And with all of these questions and doubts running through his mind, John sends a couple of John's disciples to Jesus with a message. And so these disciples, they go to Jesus and they say to him, "John wants to know, are you the one? Are you the one who's coming, or do we need to look for somebody else?" And if you remember the story, Jesus doesn't give them like a straight answer, a yes or a no. Jesus hardly ever does that, in fact. And instead, Jesus says to the disciples to go back and tell John what they have seen with their own eyes. And he says to them, look at how people are being healed of their diseases, how the blind are being given sight, how the good news is coming to the poor, and how the dead are being raised. He tells John's disciples, look around, look and see, and then go and tell John what you have seen. Now, at the point where John sends this message, that happens much later in the story than the one we read today. So at this point, when John sends that message, Jesus has been walking around, preaching, teaching, healing for a while. A few weeks ago, we heard the story about how Jesus had healed the centurion's servant from a distance. That had already happened. And this story of John asking Jesus, it comes after today's story, where Jesus travels from his adopted hometown of Capernaum. He goes to a little tiny village about 25 miles away called Nain. And Luke tells us that there are two crowds coming to the gate, the town gate of this little town, on that day. One of the crowds is the one that's following Jesus, and they're coming into town. They've been traveling with Jesus since Capernaum, and they're curious, and they're hopeful, and they're just sort of on the edge of their seats wondering what Jesus is going to do next. And then this other crowd is leaving town, and this crowd is actually a funeral procession for a young man who died probably the day before the funeral. And Luke tells us some really important things about this young man and about his mother. Luke says that this young man was his mother's only son and that his mother was a widow. And we've talked before about how precarious the life of a woman on her own with no husband could be at this in this time and place. You know, when a woman was widowed, her choice at that point was really just to rely on her children, and specifically on her male children. They were the ones who could provide her with protection and with a name and with the support she needed to just kind of like live her life. So there's no such thing at this point in time as like Social Security or Medicare. Widowed women in the first century basically had no safety net if they didn't have male children. So here's this woman following the funeral bier of her son, who, according to custom, she had to bury within 24 hours of his death. So her grief is still just deeply fresh. And her fear and uncertainty, I imagine, were like right there as she was walking along this path to the village gate. And Luke tells us that when Jesus comes upon this funeral procession, when the two crowds meet at the town gate, Luke says Jesus saw her. He saw this grieving mother, this woman who'd lost everything. And Luke tells us that Jesus' heart went out to her. And in some of the translations, it says Jesus had compassion on her. I imagine that as these two crowds of people came together, as Jesus stopped the funeral procession, which is a bold move, I imagine everybody was just looking right at him, kind of wondering what he was going to do. Like the crowd that had followed him from Capernaum, they had seen him just, you know, heal someone who was on the brink of dying. But this young man, he's already dead. So there's no healing that Jesus can do. He can comfort the mother, but that's not going to put food on her table. It's not going to put a roof over her head. Jesus looks at her, and he feels this deep compassion for her. And that compassion is what prompts him to reach out and to touch the bier. And then he says to the dead man, "Rise." And this dead man just like sits up and he goes back to his mother. Luke uses this word compassion, that Jesus acted out of compassion for the widow. And that word compassion, it's an important word in Luke's gospel. It's the same word he uses when he tells the story of the Good Samaritan, the guy who sees the wounded man lying in the ditch and bandages him up and puts him up in an inn until he's better. It's the Samaritan's compassion, Luke says, his compassion that moves him to act. And it's the same with the father in the story of the prodigal son. Luke says he's moved with compassion for his son, and it's that compassion that causes the father to like run out to the edge of the road when he sees his son walking up, and it's that compassion that leads the father to welcome the son back into the family. Luke makes it clear in the way that he talks about compassion that it's something that's supposed to stir a person to action. And Luke makes it clear that this kind of compassion is at the very heart of who Jesus is. It defines his ministry. He reaches out to people who are sick and injured and hurting. He embraces people who are living on the margins, people who are poor, people who have no good choices left. It's not a side note to his ministry. It is the ministry. He told us that in his very first sermon that he preached in his hometown synagogue when he opens a scroll and he reads from the prophet Isaiah and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me and has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor and recovery of sight for the blind and freedom for the prisoners, to set the oppressed free and to proclaim that the time has come when God will save God's people." People who are following Jesus, they've seen him heal before. They've just watched him heal this centurion's servant. That story that we heard a couple weeks ago, but actually that story and this story, they're like back to back in Luke's gospel, but they're very different kinds of stories. In the story of the centurion's servant, the servant's healed on the basis of the centurion's faith. The centurion's faith is what prompts Jesus to heal. And sometimes that's the way it goes in these stories, but at other times, Jesus heals without being asked. And that's what happens in this story. Nobody asks Jesus to do anything in this story. The crowd doesn't call on Jesus to help. The widow doesn't ask Jesus to raise her son. I don't actually think the widow probably even sees Jesus at this point. I mean, she's walking behind her son's funeral bier. She's filled with grief. She's probably afraid about what will happen to her next. I imagine she's just got her head down and her eyes filled with tears. I doubt she saw Jesus at all. But Jesus sees her. And I have to confess, when I started looking at this passage, I'm not sure I saw her, to be honest. Like, I called this sermon "When the Widow Met Jesus," but when I was starting the process of writing, I couldn't really see anything but the young man and the funeral bier. And I'll tell you, my friends, who are also preaching this series along with me, we like to talk about the scripture together, and we had a terrible time figuring out what to do with this for a while. We couldn't, all we could talk about was the young man, and it took some time for us to realize that Jesus' eyes are on the woman from the very beginning, seeing her. I mean, this is a miracle story, yes. It's a story that as we move into Lent this week, we can hold in our hearts as a reminder of the life-giving power of God. It's a glimpse of what we'll see at Easter, yes. But more importantly, I think it's a story about compassion. The miracle of the young man being raised, it's like a big moment, and it strikes everyone as this miracle, this awe-inspiring miracle, but it's the compassion. It's Jesus's compassion that is at the center of the story. I don't know what it's like to lose a child. I know that some of you know exactly what that's like, and I can imagine that this is one of those stories that can be hard to hear. And even those of us who haven't lost a child know that children should not die before their parents. The widow in this story, she experiences indescribable loss. And we know that pretty soon Mary, the mother of Jesus, is going to experience that kind of loss too. And Luke doesn't say whether Mary is there on the day when her son dies to watch him die, but John, in his gospel, says that she's there, that she's standing at the foot of the cross. And John says that Jesus sees her there, and that he has compassion for her. Even in the middle of his own suffering, he has compassion for his mother. And so he entrusts her to the care of the one that John calls the beloved disciple, who, P.S., is the name that it seems like John has given himself in this gospel. But Mary has this disciple. But who does the widow of Nain have? Right? Like, Who's going to take care of her now? Well, it turns out it's Jesus. It's Jesus who sees her. It's Jesus whose compassion for her moves him to act, to tell her son lying on the funeral bier to get up, to rise from the dead. Jesus gives him back to his mother. He gives him back his life, but he also gives her back her life. Luke tells us that when the crowd saw what happened, they were filled with awe, and they called Jesus a great prophet. And they say, God has come to save his people. And look, they get some of the details wrong. And they don't fully understand who Jesus is yet. But they recognize something extremely important. They see compassion. They see mercy. They see a person willingly step into the pain of something, someone else, and do what they can to help. And in that moment, they say, God is here. They recognize God in the compassion of Jesus. See, we've been talking about epiphanies this whole season, and this story is not just an epiphany for the widow, it's not just an epiphany for the son, it's an epiphany for the whole crowd. They see the way that Jesus moves through the world. They see the way he sees suffering, the way his heart is moved, the way compassion turns to action, and they say, ah, that is what God looks like. There are voices in our life together right now. Some of them are loud. Some of them are powerful. Some of them even claim the name of Jesus, who are trying to tell us that compassion is dangerous, that empathy makes you weak, that mercy makes you naive, that caring too much makes you a sucker, that if you feel too much or if you stand with the vulnerable, you're being manipulated. I'm not exactly sure why that is. I think some people would say it's because we've gotten like calloused or cold or hardened as a people these days. And I'll tell you, I don't see that when I look around at most people. I tend to believe that when people tell you that you shouldn't care about people, or you shouldn't have concern, or you should ignore when bad things are happening to others, it's because our indifference serves their purposes. It's because dividing us makes them more powerful. That's my guess. Anyway, I don't know. But I do know that when people tell us that some lives matter less, when people tell us that some suffering can be ignored, when people tell us that our instinct to care should be shut down, that message is not a message that comes from the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because when I read the gospel, I see a Jesus who does not turn away when someone is hurting. I do not see a Jesus who asks for credentials before helping someone. I do not see a Jesus who makes sure that a person has done everything right before healing them. I don't see a Jesus who checks to make sure he agrees with their life before inviting them to eat at his table. In fact, usually it's the opposite. I see a Jesus whose heart is moved again and again and again, moved by suffering, moved by vulnerability, moved by people who have no one else. Compassion is not a distraction from his mission. It is the mission. It's who he is. And if the crowd is right, if they really did recognize God in the compassion of Jesus, then compassion is not something to be suspicious of. Compassion is one of the clearest ways that the world catches a glimpse of God, which means that we, who claim the name of Jesus, should never be afraid of compassion, ours or anyone else's. We should never be ashamed when our hearts are moved. We should never let anyone convince us that mercy is weakness. If compassion is what revealed God in Jesus, then compassion is what the world should see when they look at us too. James wrote that religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. Every day we encounter people walking through life in the fog of grief or fear or uncertainty. Every day we cross paths with people who feel alone, who feel forgotten, who feel like there's no safety net for them. We may not have the power to raise someone from the dead, but we can see them. We can let our hearts be moved. We can respond with compassion that turns to action. John asked, "Are you the one?" And Jesus answered that question with acts of compassion. And when he did that, he showed us what the kingdom of God truly looks like: dignity restored, hope made real, people reminded of their worth and their worthiness. That's what Jesus did. It's what Jesus does. So what about us? What will people see when they look at us? What will people know to be true about God because they see the way we act in the face of harm or injustice or someone else's pain? God has come to save God's people. That's what the people knew to be true when they saw Jesus act with compassion. Will the same be true of us?